Do you feel like your business is running your life instead of the other way around? I'm Roy Castleman. I've built multiple seven-figure companies, worked across continents, and coached high-performing entrepreneurs. But I've also been completely burnt out. At one point, I was barely seeing my daughter, drowning in stress, and one step away from walking away from it all. That's when I made a decision to build a business and a life that works for me. The journey became Elevate 360. A system to help business owners reclaim their time, find their energy again, and get back in control without sacrificing growth. And this podcast, Power Movers, is where I share real stories behind that shift. Each week, you'll hear from entrepreneurs, founders, and leaders who've walked through the fire and come out of the other side with clarity, courage, and a system that works. If you're ready to build a business that gives you more life instead of taking it away, you're in the right place.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. Today we've got a real treat, cut and shot, is the nuts and bolts that holds Boss Up together. She works with Scott Abbott. She creates all the amazing content that the coaches work with. She keeps us all in line. She's been in this game for a long time, this business operating in. Welcome to the podcast, Catherine.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us a little bit about your history in Boss Up, and then we might go a little bit further back.
Boss Up started, I think we're going on 3 or 4 years now. We started a few years ago, and it was the brainchild of Scott. Scott and my father worked together for 30 plus years, and they were looking for somebody who could handle the educational side of things and pulled me in, tapped me in for that. It grew from there. So I took Scott's old decks and all of his materials and ran with it. And the great thing about Scott is he lets me do whatever I want. So I have full creativity from the get-go. I've had full creativity and can do essentially whatever I want with it. And I took that, started with the deck and grew it to where it is now. And so I think we have 7 guidebooks and decks ranging from beginner level to advanced level and an entire community, courses, everything. So
what an amazing opportunity. That touches on delegation, right? Yeah. Yeah. If Scott had sat there and micromanaged you, you wouldn't have got anything done, right?
Absolutely.
But seeing the potential in someone, seeing their power, letting them do what they do well, and then providing direction, that's the power of a good manager, right? So
very true.
Yeah.
And it makes my job easier too, because there's a lot of trust. There's a lot of trust in the company and in my relationship with Scott. There's a lot of trust in that he trusts that I will do what I think is appropriate and what I think is right. And I think there has to be a lot of trust in manager and employee relationship as well.
But let's go back now. You're after making a noise. A good noise. Yeah.
Very.
So talk a little bit about that journey. I think there's something in the spirit of entrepreneurship that we will go and we'll do something to such a high level, right? I'm bundling you into this journey because you've been there from the beginning. I think you're as much entrepreneurial spirit as anybody. And yeah, go into that. Tell us about your passion, your love.
So I started singing and started taking lessons when I was 6 years old, really little. Took piano lessons, started playing the flute, and played the flute all through high school. So music was always a huge part of my life. My parents were really supportive of that. It was always such a huge part of my life. My singing teacher in high school was like, you could probably make a career out of this. So I thought, okay, cool. Why not? You're 17, 18. I got nothing better to do. Love doing it. And so I went to school for it. Got my bachelor, master's, both in singing. From there, the career path for an opera singer is to go from school into training programs, young artist programs. And so I was able to start apprenticing with, in the opera world, is a lot of understudying and chorus work, right? Because they're using the young artists for dual purpose. So I did a lot of that all around the US. And then I did my fair number of competitions and all of that stuff. So from all the metrics, I was very very successful, right? And starting the potentially to launch a pretty decent career. About 2018, all simultaneously to singing because you're doing gig work. So it's not necessarily a full-time position. So I would sing, I would be away doing a show or doing a program for 6 to 10 weeks. And then I would come back and I would work retail. I had a decent position where they would let me go away for 6 to 10 weeks and then come back. There's some security there. Anyway, about 2018, I just got really sick of working the retail part. And I started teaching music. I started teaching singing and a little bit of piano. I'm not the greatest pianist, but for a beginner, I know enough. I started teaching and I truthfully fell in love with teaching. Singing is fun. It's great. It's lovely. But there was something about seeing my students succeed and improve and bloom. It's an incredible feeling to know that you have mentored and worked with somebody. It's almost like taking a lump of clay and turning it into a beautiful piece of pottery. And so that's where my path took me. I was talking to my husband about this a few weeks ago, and he said, since he's known me, we've been married for almost 10 years now, I've always been learning. I'm the type of person who's always learning. I'm always learning. I just love education. He said, if there was a kind of distinguishing trait for you, it would just be learning. It'd be education. So it kind of...
There's an entrepreneurial strain I see almost everyone. Yeah. And myself, every single day I'm learning something. And if I'm not learning something, then I'm depressed and out of it. I'm like, yeah, what's the next thing? But it's one of the things you have to watch out for. Yeah. I spent 3 years in AI now, and I learned about 500 different tools in AI. When I stopped and said, okay, actually, what's going to move the needle for me? Stop learning the tools. I stop playing with tools all the time. Stop trying to, this whole concept that AI is going to do 90% of the work for you, and it never is. It's only ever going to be a 60% tool. But when you put it in properly and you use it properly and you remain the architect, you can work out what the problem is and fix the problem, find the right tool to fix the problem. We don't get caught by shiny shit. I call it shiny shit. I have shiny shititis. I don't know. I'm going to test all the cool new toys. We talk about this in the community. But is it going to take me towards my vision? Is it going to take me towards my goals? Applying this all on that basis.
I think that is something that a lot of entrepreneurs have. The new, greatest, cool thing. With my background, I lived in a world for 30 years where I essentially was performing old stuff. Too. So I don't necessarily, it's attractive, but I feel like my background and training has let me sever that a little bit. So I'm not quite as, ooh, something new. I get excited, but there's a little bit more parsing through of things.
So now you're coming to this boss up world of ours, and you must have seen some astounding stories of transformation through that period.
Yes. I think seeing Angelo and Suzanne, there are a number of coaches who I've seen just this incredible growth and incredible transformation. And it's interesting because I feel like sometimes I'm on the fringes of things a little bit. I'm in my own little universe of
material. You're all the universe. It's a bit...
Fair.
You can hold it all together.
Thank you. I've also seen some things with some of Scott's clients, and we've been working with a nonprofit wing of the Kelly School of Business out of Indiana University, working with small businesses in Indiana to help them grow and help them scale their businesses. And that has been such a beautiful transformation to see, too, seeing clients, the client side of things, because I'm personally a firm believer that small business makes the world go round. It's so important. And I think people talk about it a lot, but
a couple of figures that really blew my mind. I'm in London and I worked in central London. And 99.1% of companies in London are under 10 people.
Crazy. Wow. That's incredible.
That's so foundational. Every single one of those business owners has family. has people they support. All the staff that come to them, they all have people. The impact that small business owners have on the world is so underappreciated by government, by everybody else. As entrepreneurs, we go into the world, we have a vision, we're going to fix a problem we see out there. Only 1% to 2% of the people in the world would ever start their own company.
That's crazy. Maybe it's just because my mom was an entrepreneur. Growing up, she painted murals in people's homes and had a really successful business doing that. And then she wanted to change and she started her own dog grooming company and grew that to, it was booming. She essentially had to say, I can't take any new clients, pulled in a couple of new people, and then they were completely full, but it was huge business. So it's interesting because I come from a world where my dad worked in corporate America, essentially, and my mom, she's a small business owner, always.
I think this is for me, the reason why I was so invested in Boss Up methodology. I did EOS beforehand. I was coached in EOS. That opened my eyes to the potential of the business operating system. From there on, I became an EOS coach for a while, and the methodology didn't work for me. It was focused for bigger companies. It was very rigid, very strict. You have to say this, you have to say that. Really, I was looking at the 19 website, and I saw the coaching program. I signed up before Scott had gone, and they said, you should speak to Scott. I think I was number 7 or number 8 to join the program. The potential in this for me is that we can take this 99% of companies, not charge them the £100,000 ticket that you need to pay to give an EOS coach, and give them the tools that are there in the world that make their lives easier. My vision is to help business owners live the life they love. I'm always in a different country. I'm always skydiving here or feet up in there or doing something else. And that's what I want for people, to be able to carry on what they're doing, for the companies to run, for the companies to grow up and to mature and to be able to do exactly what they wanted to do. And then move on to the next thing and just bring that energy into the world. And I think that's all the coaches or entrepreneurs, right? They've all got their own businesses and we're all living the life that we're trying to tell people, this is what we want to do. This is what you can now, right?
Exactly.
You know?
And to that point, a good system will create freedom in your life. So if you have that system in place for your work and even a system for home life, for the housework you have to do, once you have those in place, it lets you free up that space in your brain and that time to do the fun stuff, the stuff that you want to do. Spend time with your family. My dog gets 2-hour walks every day, walking around always. But
let's delve into this business operating system and explain to people. It's summarized for us. Give us the layman's version. Yeah, so that people can actually understand what we're talking about. Yeah.
Essentially, what I do is I'm taking all of these corporate ideas. If you think about a huge corporation, they're going to have a structure. They're going to have the C-suite, then they're going to have their middle manager, have their structure. They've got their vision down, at least at the top. They're going to have solid goals. They're going to have all of these things that roll down throughout the company. And so we're taking that structure and that system and distilling it down to its lowest common denominator, its barest bones. And then once you have that, once you can see the skeleton, you can see how that can apply to every single company. So it's that skeleton that it takes to run a company and to build and grow a company.
Sorry to interrupt. Yeah. The reality is, if you're a solo entrepreneur, you still need the same system, right?
Exactly.
And this is where it gets quite confusing. If you're a solo entrepreneur, you're the visionary. You're the operator, right? You're making it all happen. Then you're doing the marketing and you're doing the sales and the operations and delivery. You're having to manage the accounts. You're having to manage all the admin. All of these boxes need to be, you're wearing all these hats, right? But the problem is, as humans, we do this thing, right? We do the things we're good at and we like doing way more than the things we're not so good at and damn like doing.
That's part of the reason why moving into Boss Up and away from the music thing, I feel like it suits me really well because I don't have to do the marketing. Because this is exactly right. I have no desire to be on social media marketing myself, which you have to do these days. I have no desire to be on LinkedIn. I have no desire for any of that. I have in a sense, opted out of it as much as possible. So I didn't want to wear that hat. I didn't. And so it's nice that I'm in a place where I can create that skeleton. I don't have to wear all the hats. But yeah, as a solo entrepreneur, you have to do everything. And so you have to partition your brain into different sections.
The reason we use the system with the 9 core competencies and we watch these competencies in more detail than being able to step out of working in the business, and working on the business becomes so foundation, right? If I was working in the business 14 hours a day, 7 days a week, I had 2 IT companies, right? And I had the opportunity to buy the very first IT company I worked for. And it just, there was like, I had no more meat to go around.
Yeah.
And one more meat to go around at all. And did the 100,000 pound EOS coaching and was able to go to 5 hours a week for those 2 companies in a matter of 6 to 8 months. And fundamentally, what I learned about the process was where I was doing it wrong. And you can't read the label from inside the job.
Right? Exactly.
Without having that coach there saying, SD, no, but if you do that and that, then there's this will happen. And then you go, you're aware of it. You look at it and you say, oh, geez. And it's about the shortcuts, right?
Yeah.
How do you shortcut all these pain points that somebody else has suffered so that you don't have to make the same mistakes?
Exactly.
That's fundamentally what WhatsApp has done. That's fundamentally what coaches do, walking you through this process and being able to sit there and be a challenger. And to say, actually, no, I'm calling you out in this one. And it's such an interesting one yesterday. Potential client, I'm Gary Orris, and he's the classic entrepreneur. He's a one-off instructor, and that's one of the things he can do quite well. And then he's looking at biofuel in the UK. He's looking at some big contract in Greece. He's got all his tabs open in his head. And listen to the thing. Do one thing.
What?
You need to have $5,000 a month coming in 3 months' time. If you do what I'm asking you to do, that's the best chance you've got of getting it. Stop all of that stuff. Get rid of all this shiny shit. Get rid of it. Just focus on the one-off workshops now for the last 2 months. But make the business systems for that right. Understand what you're doing. Understand all the pieces you're doing. Don't just hand that off to a meta person that's going to just full thing up. It doesn't work, doesn't it? You need to understand who you're talking to. You need to understand what their pain points are, what the messaging is. You need to understand all of these things. Put it into place. And it took me about 44 minutes to get through to him for him to say, oh, okay, yeah. If he can follow up 2 workshops a weekend, so if he can have 20 people on 2 workshops a weekend, he can make making 10 million a month. Yeah. When we had another conversation, I was like, okay, so how are you going to pull those up? I'm going to pay attention. I don't remember. How many people are on your WhatsApp? What if you asked every one of those people, if you called them up and you said, hey, I need you to give me a photo. People love to do a photo, right?
Yeah.
I'm much more reciprocal. I'm trying to find people that are this problem. Do you know 3 people?
Yeah.
I said, if you called every single person on your phone and you asked them that, how many did you get?
Oh, loads.
Then you don't have to pay the rent to person. You don't have to pay the ad cost. You don't have to go for the cold marketing. You can go for the warm or the hot marketing and get that done. It's a lot easier for me to sit on the outside and do this because I've made so many mistakes. I spend $250,000 on Facebook to make 30,000 more. Right. Yeah, you know, I've spent the money. I've come through these pains and hopefully a little bit wiser. I know that like you were talking about before. You see the light coming on somebody's eyes and you're like, yeah, they get it. And then they go and test it. It works.
And they get really excited.
Yeah. And then they go off another way. So it's a bit of it. And let's talk about the biggest subject in the world right now. AI, right?
Yeah.
AI. And I want to talk about the difference between perception and reality. I speak to 10 people in a day. 7 of them will say, yeah, they're using AI. 3 of them will say, oh, no, it's going to steal all my information. But the reality we live in right now is that everything is stealing your phone. Steals all your information, talk about something, and suddenly you start seeing meta ads for the same. Time and time and time again. We haven't connected the dots yet. your salary, your Alexa, all these things collect information. It's large and the tangent. But as we go through this, we think about AI death is in a 90% way, right? We think about AI, I forget what ChatGPT, I wanted to do everything. So we tell us something, and it basically gives us bad rubbish.
Yeah.
What do you think the journey of mastery is? Unconscious competence. What is that journey? I know you've been using AI.
Yeah.
What's that been for you?
So for me, I also trained AI for a little bit. So, and that was a whole different interesting world, right? So I would say it was early adopter, especially since I was helping to train it. And I did a lot of fact checking. That was my favorite task to do. And through that, I learned what makes a good prompt, how you're going to get the structure you want. But for me, it's about having a very clear conversation, knowing full and not necessarily having a conversation with a human being, but I need to be clear in my intentions. I need to communicate my intentions clearly for the AI to give me what I am looking for, right? I've been using AI quite a lot, at least in the last month or so, to create images for me because I wanted a whole cohesive illustration thing to do with our new courses. We've got our AI agent named Lexicon. I said, hey, this is our AI agent. Her name's Lexicon. I gave the AI some details. And I said, make me an image of her. And then I took that image and I said, okay, well, I like this style of illustration and make me an image of her in these situations. Through that, I've gotten a pretty cohesive set of images, but there was some trial and error and I was specific, but I probably could have been more specific with my prompting. But for me, part of the fun is playing around with it.
When we learn, we don't necessarily know what we think we're doing, Rod. What I've learned, and a big subject for me, is around communication, right? Yeah, because we think, yes, business owners are the worst for this, right? We have all this stuff, we have all this stuff in our head, right? We always say, hey, Kendall, can you just do this? Presuming that you know what goes on in here, right? And yeah. Honestly, we don't even know what goes on in here. We just got a feeling for it. And then we dump that on you. And when we dump it on you, then if you're confident enough, you'll say, stop, just tell me, give me more. But if you know, and this is such a common problem I see, we go and try and do it. And then you'll come back to me and you'll say, here you go, what? You have the thing you wanted. And you're like, what the hell is this? You brought this whole problem. And for me, AI has taught me that I'm not such a good communicator because shit in and shit out. Right. Put in rubbish and you get rubbish out. So you have to be very clear. You have to set the context and set the audience correctly. What are your requirements? What are your expectations? This care framework that really teaches you every time that something bad comes out, it was probably you because there's no one else to blame. You have all the intelligence in the world and you're not right. For me, that's really been a formative thing.
Yeah, and on that subject too, I've had to learn how to be a very clear communicator as far as teaching goes, right?
Yep.
Because that is what teaching has taught me. It, like, how do you explain harmony to a 5-year-old?
You asked ChatGPT then.
But it's just one of those things where it's like you have to learn to communicate with other people. When I'm working with AI, I treat it almost like I'm having a conversation with somebody who I'm working with. I'll give it a role. One of the most important things you can do is give your AI a role. I need you to be a marketing expert. I need you to pretend to be one of our coaches. What are you going to see from this? Tell me, what are you going to take from this? I do a lot of that too. I want the AI to pick apart what I'm saying.
I call it the yes person, bro. If you go through life and you're like, oh, I've got this great idea. I'm going to give it up and I'm going to do this over there. They'll say, yeah, boy, that's a great idea. But when you then turn around and you say, okay, now I want you to be a critical thinking partner. And I want you to analyze that with the opportunities of the rest. Then you get a different answer. I think the point I started with is the gap between what's possible and what people are doing. So you've got these 7 people that are saying, yeah, I'm using AI. And almost without fail, when I dig into it, they're using AI to help them write emails.
You do much more.
And I'm not joking when I say I'm doing years of work in weeks. Literally years of work in weeks. And years of work at a level I should never have done it. But I have to remain the architect. I have to understand what I'm, like you say, what do I want out of this? Of all these, if you can do that, I think there's something like 4 or 5% of people in the world are actually even on a large language model platform. So 5% of the world isn't even on this. Well, those 4 or 5%, only 2% are actually got a paid subscription. That's a ridiculously low amount. So you're not late. You're early, but use it every single day. The only way you're going to get there by going and doing it in one shot, right? We have to make the errors. We have to go through it. And the sooner you get in that letter, the sooner you're actually going to be able to understand where to use it and how to use it and what you need for.
Something I love to use AI for is recommendations. Saying, I love these books. These are my favorite books. Give me something. And this is what I'm looking for. I want a book that has this feel or vibe or whatever. And give me some options. And I will tell you, when I've done that for a handful of things, AI is spot on. When you tell them what you like, what you are in the mood for, like I'll be like, I want to be captivated by something. I want something so interesting that I don't want to put it down. And it's interesting using it in a completely different use case, right?
I've done something recently, and myself and my partner, Laura, we get traveling a lot. And she said to me, right, we go and see certain sites, we go and see historical sites, and I'm from South Africa, we don't have much history, she's in the US, you guys don't have much history. When you go and see something that's old, it's always quite deep. And she said to me, it'd be so cool if we could have a sacred sites app where, as you're driving down the road, you can search for what's happened in this area, what are the mystical things, what are the UFO sightings, what are the... And about a year ago, I had a vibe coding app that I was playing with, and she was taking me to the airport. And I literally built the app with Jersey Wild in the car. Right. Since then, it's been a whole journey to get there. Now we're getting closer to the real launch version. We were in Prague just recently. So I said, okay, just give me all the locations in the Czech Republic with this. And I found 400 different locations of things that you won't find on Google Maps. This is where humanity becomes more human. When we're using the tools to go out and do things that connect us with each other, that allow us to experience the stuff that we haven't experienced before, because we've got time. Because that 70% of the stuff we never wanted to do or had to do, that 70% we can give up. I'll finish this podcast with you. I'll take this file, and I'll remove some errors and errors and stuff. My daughter will do that for me. I'll drop it in the folder, and it'll literally go and do 2.5 days worth of work. I don't need to do that anymore. For me, that allows me to do another podcast. Instead of one every 3 weeks, I can do 2 a week. And still help with the other stuff. I think that's where people are missing the points we need.
I've been learning and working towards more of instructional design sort of stuff, the technical aspect of building online courses and online resources. I've done more in the last 6 months than I think without AI I could have done in 5 years. And it's an incredible time saver. And then when I'm not on the clock, I can go and read.
My vision is that you have a 10-person company, and that 10-person company, if you can 10x their output with the business operating system, with the AI understanding of what's possible, and you can have those 10 people doing 4 hours a day, and that 4 hours is all about connecting with other humans. You can really bring the human back. That company is going to stand out so much more than any company that's just saying, oh, then I do it all. Yeah.
And I think you hit the nail on the head with the human part of things, right? It's so important. And I think the conversation around AI to this point has been a lot of like, how can it create more efficiency? How can it almost replacing workers or replacing jobs with AI? And I don't personally see it that way at all. It can make the people more efficient so that they can have a better quality of life. For me, that's what it's all about, is helping people have a better quality of life. Because we only have the one life. Do what you love doing.
And on that note, I want you to think about, let's go back to Boston. If you were to give me one of the foundational things that you've learned through this process with Boston, and you were to think of what's made the biggest change in the clients' lives, what would that be?
I think it's structure. I think it's having those structural elements so you don't have to think about them. Having those foundational elements so you don't have to think about them. For you guys as coaches, helping you with that aspect of things, right? You don't have to go out and build your own system. I've done that for you.
And thank you for
that. You're welcome. But it saves you time. It saves you brain power. And I just think that's, I'm going to come back to that again and again. Structure creates freedom.
Love it. What a wonderful way to end. Thank you for joining us. And I look for all the details on the systems that everyone can get all the time you can. And we'll do this again in a couple of months.
Sounds good. Thanks, Roy.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Power Movers, the podcast from All the Power. Our mission is to help business owners reclaim their time, reset their energy, and live the life they love. If this episode sparked something for you, your next step is simple. Take the fit check at allthepower.co.uk. It's a short clarity tool that helps you see where you are, what's getting in the way, and what might be possible if you have the right system. When you're ready, come and join the tribe. Power Movers start with our signature framework called Elevate 360. A system built to help you escape survival mode, create structure, and move forward with power. Just remember, everything we share here is based on real stories, experience, and frameworks. It's not personal business advice. Always speak to a coach or advisor before making big decisions. Because in the end, it's about more than business. It's about building a life that you actually love. I'm Roy Castleman, and I'll see you in the next episode.